And I trust the Lord will bless us as we come to the Word of God in Romans chapter 8. We have gone quite a ways down the 8th chapter. We have been somewhat stalled at this wonderful peak, mountain peak of Revelation in the latter part of the 8th chapter. We are making progress, and ere long we will be finished with what we have been considering. But what a wonderful topic it is, this wonderful salvation in all of its parts, in the completeness. As we read in Sunday school, the apostle told the Colossians that you are complete in Him. We're reading Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of this marvelous section of divine revelation. God has given us these tremendous words, and we trust that today the very Spirit who breathed these words through the apostle would breathe upon us here, that we would receive the wonderful truth that God has for us today. We thank God for last Lord's Day. We had quite a large crowd of people who had gathered to hear the gospel. I didn't preach from this passage, and I had the joy of preaching to many people that wouldn't normally be under the sound of gospel preaching. We thank God for bringing many, and we trust the Lord will bless His words and even bless us this week as we seek to reach out to others. We're looking today especially at verse 30. I told you we're coming to the end of this. So we are looking at the first part of verse 30 in particular. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. The quality goes in before the name goes on. That was the popular slogan that many of our ears heard for decades in American advertising. That slogan belonged to the Zenith Radio Company that began in 1918 at Glenville, Illinois. And as we look back into the past at that saying, I couldn't help but remember when I realized that it was the Zenith Radio Company in particular that first had that slogan. Many of our happy memories are ours that we spent enjoying the old Zenith radios. Those huge radios, some of them were nearly 4 feet tall and over 2 feet wide. You may have seen some of them. You may have seen pictures of them. But there was one sitting in our dining room in our old house. And boy, we got so much fun listening to that radio and hearing the programs. It was the main source of entertainment for us country folks back in those times, back in the 50s and 60s. And I was sort of like one of my cousins out here. There were two families of our cousins that lived about a mile that way, about a mile this side of where we live. And there were a bunch of the boys out playing one day, and they all took off running to go to the other cousin's house. And he said, "Where are we going?" They said, "We're going to go see televisions." And They got to running, and they got tired as they were running. They stopped for a minute, and one of them said to the other, "What is a television?" And I can remember the first time I saw one at my grandmother's house. Wow. But anyway, those were the days when products of American manufacturers lasted for many years after their warranties had expired. It was not until about 30 years ago that I began hearing much about paying good money for extending the warranties on automobiles and all kinds of appliances. However, extended protection plans are the norm today for products of what might be called sometimes poor workmanship and those made of inferior materials, because the guarantees always said material and workmanship. Now, though we live in the early 21st century, we can still praise God that His marvelous salvation is not at all composed of shoddy material, nor produced by poor workmanship. Free salvation proceeds from the solid eternal decree of Almighty God. It was accomplished by the perfect virgin-born God-man, and it is applied by the sure and secure power of the promised Holy Spirit. Now, here in Romans 8, the apostle to the Gentiles has continued stacking up the abundant evidence that believers in Christ possess of certain assurance and the guaranteed glory of the future eternity. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 is one of the great high water marks of the Holy Scripture. Here Paul reminds us of three things that I would point out today. First of all, there is God's foreknowledge. And I will show you here in verse 30, moreover whom. Okay, God's foreknowledge. Secondly, God's predestinating grace. Moreover whom He did predestinate. And then thirdly, God's effectual calling. Them He also called. So we'll look at God's foreknowledge first. Verse 30, I say. You say, well, preacher, that was in verse 29. But you see there in verse 30, there are connecting words. Moreover, whom? Literally, for whom? For whom? This 30th verse begins almost identically as verse 29 does. For whom? Just a slight variation in the Greek conjunctions, but dealing with the same people that God foreknew. It goes on to say, moreover, for these, for whom He has been talking about, those that He foreknew, that God foreknew, those that He foreordained, those He foreloved, He forechose, He designated before. That is what that actually means. He had a holy purpose for these people. You see that at the end of verse 28. The called according to His purpose. Now we need to be very careful as we come to this, because here is God doing His God activity, ordaining and purposing in His own sovereign way. God reveals to us a little of the inner workings of His infinite mind. And here we should bow and worship, because He could have left us in the dark without telling us this. And you know, the doctrine of God's foreordaining grace is not for our speculation. It is not set aside for our debating. It is to give us this wonderful assurance. It is given for us to admire, to adore, to be amazed at the great God of grace. This doctrine is only for believers. And let me say that again. This doctrine of God's sovereign foreknowledge and predestination is especially for the comfort of believers. Dr. Paisley used to say often, don't be opening and reading other people's mail. We sometimes, in our neighborhood, our mail is delivered to the wrong place. And a neighbor called us and told us that we had a package mistakenly opened, thinking it was for the delivery at another house. Well, we shouldn't be. If you're not a Christian, there are certain things in the Word of God that are especially for Christians. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man, that is the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And you know, there's not a lost person out there in the world that says, I want to go to church and I want to learn the doctrine of God's predestinating grace. No. It's a frightening thing. It's a frightening reality for those who are not in Christ. This information Paul is giving for the comfort, for the assurance of the believer. And here is the supreme comfort. And here it is. Do you know what's so comforting about it, about this? The great eternal God who began our salvation will without doubt finish what he has begun. This chain of these doctrines that the apostle is tying together here, this chain was forged by the great God. And in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, the apostle says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will finish it, will complete it, the word means, until the day of Jesus Christ. When God begins his work in his people, he doesn't leave it, he finishes it. And that is what is so assuring and comforting to us. God's foreknowledge precedes his predestinating grace. He chooses his people first, and then he moves forward with his predestinating purpose. He declared that his purpose for his people, chosen before the foundation of the world, in Ephesians 1:4, he says what that purpose is. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why did God choose us before the foundation of the world? That we would be a holy people. Is that a truth that is thundered loudly in the Christian church today? It is our responsibility to learn from God's Word and from His Spirit what we are to be as believers. We were chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1:4. He's not the only one that said that. It wasn't just Paul. They said, oh, that's a Paul thing. No, it's not. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father unto obedience. Why did he choose us? So we could go out and live any way we pleased? No. He chose us that we would be a people of obedience. God has marked his people beforehand for something special, to be a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says we are to be a holy nation. God has mapped out a particular destiny for the people that he foreknew, to be his peculiar people. Now there's a word that we've kind of turn the meaning around. If somebody's peculiar today, it sort of means they're weird, but it does not mean that at all. This means to be the Lord's special treasure, his treasured possession, a people of his own. What privileges belong to God's believing people? We are chosen of God. We are precious to him as his special treasure beyond all that is merely ordinary. For such a chosen, precious people as us, it is impossible that these people cannot come into the next link in the saving chain. If He has predestinated us and foreknown us, then it is absolutely certain that we will be called. We will be called by the effectual call of the Spirit of God. And that's what we come to. Now, then this third place, the infinite, eternal triune Jehovah has formed and forged this chain of events in Romans chapter 8 here in verse 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. In verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Very important. He's given us the effectual call. And what is the effectual call? The effectual call is when the Spirit of God does something to us in the reading or the hearing of God's Word that we have never experienced before. I can tell you this. On a Sunday morning, when I was sitting on this side of the building in another congregation in another state, the sense that I had was that God was speaking directly to me as though I were the only one there, and I felt so ashamed of myself because of my sin, because of my pretense. I was arrested by the convicting, and thank God that day. I've been convicted many times, but not only was I convicted that day, I was converted. Converted to no longer rely upon my ability to try to do enough to get myself into heaven, but I realized that day that enough had already been done by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I came to depend upon Him alone. I was brought, I was persuaded to embrace Jesus Christ that day as He is freely offered to us in the gospel. And that's what the effectual call is. It's when, even though we may have heard the word thousands of times before, suddenly the Spirit of God makes it real to the heart. What a blessing. Why does the effectual call come after predestination and before justification? Because justification is always that which follows saving faith. We are justified by faith. Faith is intimately connected to justification. Faith is a huge part of effectual calling, wherein a believing sinner accepts and embraces God's gracious offer of salvation. You see it so many times in Scripture. You see it in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. Acts 13 and 48 says, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Why did they believe? Because they were ordained to eternal life. No others believed, but only those marked out by God's predestinating grace believed. Just as Lydia, three chapters later, in Acts 16, believed the gospel spoken by Paul when the Lord opened her heart. It took 25 years of living on this earth. The Lord opened my heart to rely on Christ alone. That is effectual calling. Those that are predestinated are called. And that calling is by the almighty power of the Holy Spirit. It is a calling that cannot fail because the immutable, eternal God is the author of this chain of events. In verse 30. And this is what the Apostle Paul is driving at in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Our ultimate and our final salvation is absolutely guaranteed. It is guaranteed because it is the purpose of God for us. God has ordained every single step in the process. Now, in this day of rapidly mass-produced manufacturing, there is standing out in stark contrast to all the man-made products, real old-fashioned salvation. When a soul is humbled by the Holy Spirit's converting grace and caused to turn from sin and self to rely only on the finished sacrifice and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that soul has something that stretches from eternity to eternity. It began in the mind of God. And it will find its culmination and its consummation in glory. Praise God for the reality. Now, this genuine salvation will never be cast onto the scrap heap and the garbage dumps of this old world. The believing soul can say with the hymn writer, that's why I just chose that last hymn, in the cross of Christ, I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. You know, there's a lot of pollution in this world. There's a lot of wrecked stuff. There's a lot of garbage. A lot of things that are cast off. But praise God, we can glory in the cross of Christ that's towering above all the wrecks of time. All the wrecks of people that have been deceived by heresies, all the wrecks of people who have professed but never possessed the real life eternal that the Spirit of God is able to apply, which Christ has purchased for us by His blood and by His righteousness. Real old-fashioned salvation will never be thrown off, will never be outdated, will never be worn out. Here is deliverance from despair and every fear. In Christ, I can assure my weak heart. And here is how we are to reason biblically. If you hadn't got any of this so far today, get this. God planned this salvation for me. And how do I know? John Newton said it so well. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And what was I afraid of? I was afraid even of the God that I offended. One of those false teachers we were studying today said that Luther hated God's law. He did not. Luther tried his best to keep God's law, but Luther said he got to the point where he hated God, and he knew he hated God, because he couldn't keep the law of God. Newton said, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And then that grace, my fears relieved. When we are convicted and humbled because of our sin by the Holy Spirit and brought to see Christ as our only hope, this is the work of God. And He has promised to finish what He has begun in us. He not only justifies those that He powerfully calls, He assures us that eternal glory is ours, will be enjoyed by us forever. And He uses that powerful language of the strongest past tense. That guarantee is the best guarantee, the only absolute certain, absolutely certain guarantee that there is in the whole universe. God says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What blessing there is for the child of God to look forward to. And if you have been brought to the end of yourself, if you've been brought to the end of all the hopes that you placed in your doing, and you're falling upon Christ alone, what a wonderful beginning that is. What a wonderful revelation that is. And God will finish that work in you to the very end for all eternity. Let us pray together. We thank Thee, loving Father in heaven, that Thou hast not left us to grope about hopelessly in the darkness. But Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast given Thy Word. And Lord, we praise Thee, even as the Ethiopian eunuch said, "How could I understand it except some man should guide me?" And, oh Lord, I thank Thee for that preacher that was preaching that morning when the gospel became so clear to a hopelessly lost young preacher. Lord, I pray that Thou would even make the truth of the gospel of Christ, the great work that has been finished for our redemption, oh God, make it very clear to those who may not know and enjoy this free salvation today. Please bless Thy truth. Lord, assure Thy people, since Thou hast begun a good work in us, we praise Thee that Thou wilt finish and perform it and complete it.